Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Amen. Let's go right into the Word of God today, and we're in the book of 2 Chronicles, And today I want to give you a model. This is a great model. God loved this story so much that He had it recorded in the Bible, because there'll come a time we need a model to go by when we have a crisis. You know what a crisis is? A crisis is a turning point for something to happen in your life, or it could be better, it could be worse, but a crisis is a turning point in your life, a place where miracles happen because there's a crisis. So, you know, you don't necessarily want to have to have a miracle, but if you're in a crisis, it's a great place for a miracle to happen, you know. And the title of this message is Praising Your Way Out of a Crisis. Okay, so if you don't have a crisis in your life right now, borrow one from somebody next to you, because there's always a crisis going on somewhere. And we're going to look in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we're going to look in chapter 16. I'll talk about chapter 14. I would encourage you to write those chapters down, and maybe tonight before you go to bed, it's an exciting adventure to read. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, chapter 16, and chapter 20. Annually. You've heard the name Jehoshaphat. You know, like Jumping Jehoshaphat or something like that. But Jehoshaphat was the name of a king, and he was the king of Judah. At this time, the kingdom was divided. This is after the time of Solomon, after the time of King David, and the kingdom had been divided. There was a northern kingdom, which was called Israel, but also there was a southern king ruled by another king, was called Judah. And both of them collectively were the original Israel, but now the kingdom had been divided. And if you read the book of Chronicles or the book of Kings, you see there were good kings and times for bad kings that both sides had. But at this particular time, Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, was the king of Judah. And there was a king in Israel at his time. He was Ahab. His name was Ahab. And he was a wicked king. But Jehoshaphat was a good king. He was a godly king. His father was a godly man and started out godly, but in the end, he didn't end up well. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But one of the negative things I have to bring about King Jehoshaphat was he tolerated some things in his life that he shouldn't have tolerated, and sometimes he would have a tendency to trust his own reasoning, maybe trust counselors that he had around him, or he would trust the wisdom of the world, what seemed right, and he would make a mistake. But the good thing about King Jehoshaphat, he was teachable. Even when he made a mistake, made a wrong decision, he would always return back to the Lord. And you know, God can work with you like that, because I've made countless mistakes sometimes in leading the church and doing what I thought was right, what I thought was wisdom, or maybe a lot of wisdom and opinions that I got from wise people, but it wasn't what God wanted me to do, and I've had to repent over that. And as a result of that, I've learned some hard lessons. One of those hard lessons was when we went into debt for this building. And I originally said before that, I said, I'm not going to go in debt for a church building. We'll build it as we go. God will provide. He'll show the way. And I really believe that that was God's best for us. But through a course of events, and no one to blame but me, I caved in to the pressure, and I gave in to the counsel that I've succumbed to go ahead and take a mortgage out and build this church. And God wasn't angry with me, and you know, He didn't punish me because of that, but I didn't hang out for God's best. I settled for less than what God's best was. And as a result, God knew what the future was going to be. You know, we went through a time when there was probably half of the people in the church or more left the church. I mean, we were down to like hardly 90-something people at one time, and it was a struggle. Of course, then we had this huge mortgage payment that God would have protected me from and kept me from the stress if I'd have done things His way. But I should have held out and just waited on God until I clearly heard from Him instead of agreeing to take on a mortgage. And as a result, we have about $800,000 left on that. But I'm believing God to fully help us by His grace pay that thing off totally. And I'm believing God, and you believe with me, that God, we believe You for Your mercy and grace to pay this thing off, because it's God's will that we be out of debt. I mean, personally and corporately. God, really, His best for us is to be out of debt. And He's not angry at you if you have a mortgage or you have to borrow money to take a car, but you're not receiving and enjoying what God really wants to show you, supernatural provision. You say, well, we're just human, you know, and through that. But no, we're not just human. Someone said a third of us is wall-to-wall Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we're supernatural. We're not to live as mere humans and live like the world. We're to live different and above the world. And one of the things that Jehoshaphat did, and I can identify with, it was he backslid into a relationship with wicked King Ahab, the king of Israel. They had an enemy who was attacking them, and so what Jehoshaphat did was he joined forces with Ahab to fight another country and got whipped really bad. In fact, King Ahab lost his life. It was that bad. And Jehoshaphat was spared, and then a prophet came to Jehoshaphat after this and told him, what you did was wrong because you were trusting in man rather than trusting in God. And if you'd have trusted in God, you could have received God's best for him. Well, that kind of reprimand I have heard myself personally, because there have been times I trusted in man rather than trusting in God and got a pretty good spanking for it. The consequences, I'm not saying God punished me, but you suffer unnecessary consequences in your life when you don't do things God's way. He has a better way for us. So we see there was a time now, another time, after Jehoshaphat learned his lesson, he actually became more devoted to God, which is a good thing. And I like to think I've done the same thing. I think as a result of that, I'm able to stand before you and tell you I made a mistake, but praise God, I learned from that mistake. I'm not going to do it again. Thank you, Lord. We're going to trust God. We're going to wait on God, and we don't make a move until we hear from God, period. That's just the way it is. And I have a wonderful team here that believes the same way. The elders believe the same way, and we're united in that. It's a wonderful thing. Well, guess what happens? After you either fail or pass or go through a test or a crisis, guess what happens? The enemy comes back around with a very similar crisis again. Just because you've gone through it one time, don't think it's never going to happen again. The devil realizes, hey, if that worked one time, it'll work another time. And so the enemy circled back around and raised up enemies to come after Jehoshaphat. Three countries were coming after Judah to wipe it out. And there's steps here that Jehoshaphat took that I want you to notice, because this is where we all are and where we need to go. The first thing that Jehoshaphat did when he had overwhelming enemies, another crisis in his life, the first thing he did is he talked to God about the problem. Now that may sound very simplistic to you, but don't oversimplify. Because we have a tendency to first go talk to our friends or talk to even to our spouse. I'm not saying that that's wrong, but I'm saying first you talk to God, because you can get wrong counsel. Well-intentioned people, good people, give you, well, this is how I did help dealt with this, is this is what you should do or whatever. And you first need to get alone with God, shut out all other voices, and listen to God. So if there's anybody today that's facing a crisis, you just got some terrible news and it's struck fear in your heart and you don't know what to do, and here's the first thing you do: get alone with God.
Amen.
This is what Jehoshaphat did. It says in the scriptures, then Jehoshaphat was fearful and he set himself to seek the Lord. Set yourself to seek God. I need to hear one word from God. That's all I need. That's it. And he began to seek the Lord. In fact, he was so determined about it that he called a fast for the whole country. He called everybody, we need to seek the Lord, we need to fast and pray, we need to stop eating for a period of time and devote that time that we would be eating instead to seeking God and spending time in prayer and listening for God. And Judah, all of them assembled. There was unity. They knew that they were in a life and death situation. If they didn't have God intervene for their country was doomed and would be devastated. They and their children and their grandchildren would be dead. And so they began to take this serious, and they began to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the midst of the assembly. Look at what he said, his words. He said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God of heavens? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? Did you not drive out those who lived in this land before us? We cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver. Do you see his faith? He's making a decree. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Wow. This is powerful. And God liked it so much, he put it in the book so we could read it. That was his prayer. And three things we glean from this quickly that we need to learn from. Number one, he was reminding himself and reminding the people who's really in charge. Who are we really talking to here? We are talking to God Almighty, the God of impossibilities. He can do anything. He cannot fail. He knows everything. We need to remember who we're talking to. The God of heavens, he calls him, the ruler over all the nations. It's not the presidents and the kings and the dictators that are really in charge. God is in charge. There's a throne in heaven, and he sits on that. Number two, he recounts God's past victories. Didn't you give us victory in the past? You drove out former inhabitants for us. We're here today because you gave us victory. You could say the same thing. I'm here today because God healed my body. I had cancer, but now I'm an overcomer. I'm a healer. I'm healed here today because you saved me from a life and death situation. I'm here today because you provided for me when there was no other way. How many could stand up right now and shout and tell God, thank you, God. We rely on your enabling power. We're here today because of you. And then number three, he relies on God's enabling power. This is all in his prayer. We don't have the strength. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And he says, God, you will hear and deliver. That's how we should end our prayer. When we're praying and asking God for something that's in his word and very clear that he's already done, we just say, God, you will hear my prayer. You have heard my prayer, and you will deliver. You are faithful. Praise God. So the first thing you did was talk to God. That's the first thing you got to do. Number two, the second thing you need to do, you got to quit trusting in your flesh. Our flesh is our physical senses. Sight, hearing, taste, touch, smell, all that. We live in a world where we have physical senses. And we have all over our lifetime learned to trust physical senses. We say things like, it doesn't feel right. Or, I don't see how this can work out. And we look at all the stuff in the physical realm, the doctor's reports, the lawyer's report, the bank accounts, and we can look at those things and you can get into unbelief in a heartbeat. And so he had to realize, I've got to quit trusting in what my flesh tells me, because there's more to life than just the physical or the natural. So he had to cease. He had to purposely, intentionally say, I don't walk by my sight. I walk by faith in God. I live and breathe by trusting in God. And he said, we don't have any power. We don't know what to do. Now, when someone gets in a crisis situation, that is a key moment for them to turn to God with all their heart. And if you have someone, a friend of yours, is going through a crisis right now, and they've been devastated by it, but they're not talking to God about it, something's seriously wrong. As long as a person will not talk to God about a problem, they're trusting in themselves. Well, I don't know how. I always get out of it. Somehow I'll get out of it again. You're not trusting in God. You've got to talk to God. I've always been amazed by some of the Hollywood movies when someone gets in a desperate situation. Let's say a cowboy is riding in the desert and all of a sudden he gets shot off his horse and he's out in the desert and the horse takes off. It doesn't have water, doesn't have anything. But and he's 30, 40 miles away and there's no help whatsoever. I'm always amazed in these Hollywood movies. It's not reality. Because if you're in a situation like that, even if you're an unbeliever, more than likely, you ain't got nobody else to talk. You're going to start talking to God. God, I know I haven't talked to you in a long time, or I know I haven't believed in you, but I need your help. Or a guy's in a raft, and he's out in the middle of the ocean, and his boat sunk, and he's thousands of miles away from seeing land. Guess what? You're going to start talking to God. If you don't, you're a big fool. We saw a movie the other night, a true story of a guy out in the jungle and got away from his other groups of guys that was with him and left by himself, and he had to walk for miles and miles with jungle rot in his feet. And I mean, it was a terribly desperate situation. It took him a long time, but finally he started crying out to God. He started talking to God a little bit. And I thought, well, at least that's some reality. Amen. We need God. We can't do this without God. Number three, he concentrated on God. He said, but my eyes are on you. You don't see God in the natural. You see him by faith. God, I'm looking to you. I'm not looking for anybody to help me. He's not looking like he did before for another country or a friend or somebody to come along and help him in facing these overwhelming enemies. God, I'm looking to you. He had a father who was also the king of Judah before him. And his Jehoshaphat's father was King Asa. And King Asa started out as a good king. In fact, he had stories to tell that are written out in the Bible that he must have told his son Jehoshaphat when he was younger. So King Jehoshaphat heard his father tell a story one time when there was three countries that came against Judah, and King Asa was the king, and well, there was Ethiopia and Libya and some other country, and they came against the land of Judah, and Ethiopians had over 1 million soldiers, and Israel only had 500,000. And then in addition to that, they had Libya on the enemy side and another country, so they were vastly outnumbered. And King Asa began to seek God. And the first time, he had an amazing victory. So he must have told his son about a time, there was a time that we were overwhelmed. I went to God and God helped me and we had a supernatural deliverance. So King Jehoshaphat remembered what his father had said. But he also learned from his father a time that his father didn't trust the Lord like he should have. There was another time when the king of Israel, who was a wicked king against Judah, had troops come down, and at the bottom of Judah, they built a city right there on the trade route. This is Israel. Judah's enemy built a city on the trade route so that this city from Israel could stop trade from going in and out of Judah. In other words, they were just locking them in. And so King Asa came up with an idea on his own. It sounded like a pretty good idea. He said, I'm going to take all this money that we have, treasures out of the house of God, out of the house of the Lord, and I'm going to pay Syria up north to come down and fight, start attacking Israel, and Israel get distracted, and they'll start fighting up here in the north, and they won't have enough troops to continue to build this city called Ramah down here in the bottom. Sounded like a good plan. And you know what? He succeeded. He paid all this money to Syria, and Syria started attacking Israel in the north, and Judah, who's way down here, they took all the troops that Israel had down here to try to build this city called Ramah, and they took them away, and Judah sent their troops down and destroyed the city of Ramah without any loss of life. It looked like a great victory. And most people would have declared, this was the wisdom of God. Look at this. This was God's blessing. But it wasn't. Most people would have said, well, we had success. It worked out, so it must have been the blessing of the Lord. Beware. Beware, not everything that looks like the blessing of the Lord is the blessing of the Lord unless it's done God's way. Everybody was declaring, wow, our king was blessed. Our country, we lost no life. We didn't have to go to war. That was a brilliant strategy, king. Be warned in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, and other places as well. It says this scripture, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are ways of death. Beware, because you come up with a good idea, it may not be a God idea. Well, I know what to do. We're going to do this, this. Beware, there's a wisdom of the world that is contrary, actually against the wisdom of God. Just like the time when I agreed to and signed on the dotted line, no one forced me to sign and take a mortgage out because I believed at that time that's what we should do. There's a way that seems right, but it's not God's best. And King Asa, Jehoshaphat's father, did the same thing. It seemed right. It seemed good. It seemed like it was the blessing of the Lord. And a prophet rose up in the land of Judah under King Asa. I think his name was Hanani. And he came and he gave a word to the king in Judah. Here's the word. Listen to this. The prophet said this to the king, because you depended upon the king of Syria and did not depend upon the Lord your God, therefore you lost victory over the army of Syria. Syria was Judah's enemy. And yet he paid money to them to fight his enemy, the king of Israel at that time. It seemed good, but that was not God's will. This is why we have to pray, folks. This is why we have to go to the Word. This is why we study the Word. God's Word is revealed. God's will is revealed in His Word. And the prophet said to the king and to Judah, because you depended on man and not depend on God, and you did your own thing, it seemed good to you in your own sight. Now, I was going to give you the king of Syria. I was going to give you your enemies. But you took all the money out of the treasury of the house of the Lord. You gave it to your enemies. I was going to give you the king of Syria as well as this victory. But you settled for far less than what I wanted to give you. Let me stop there for a moment. Listen to that. I think I, personally, and you can decide for yourself whether you do, I think I have depended and received far less than what God intends for me to have. And I'm not talking about just material things and money, but that's part of it. But I mean victories, testimonies, miracles, signs and wonders. I believe that I have settled far less than what is God's best for my life. And the truth be known, I believe many of you have too. We're not living at the level that God has really planned for us to live. We've lived too comfortably. We've compromised God's word and called it the blessing when it's not the blessing. And then the scripture, the prophet said this word, and boy, this is ringing true in my heart this week, and it's a ringing true for our church. The prophet said this word. Look at this. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord move about all the earth to strengthen the heart that's completely trusting in Him. You were foolish, he said, to go for human help when you could have had God's help. That's speaking to somebody here right now. That's a warning. God's saying, I'm looking for somebody who'll believe me. Somebody who'll trust me. I'm looking to pour out miracles and signs and wonders. I'm looking to do something supernatural. I'm looking to do things that are going to actually astonish the world. I'm looking to do these things for someone whose heart will trust me. That's the one I want to work through. He's constantly still looking for that. And then number four, Jehoshaphat had learned a lesson this time. I'm not going to repeat the mistake I did the first time. I'm not going to do what seems right in my own mind, my own reasoning. He continued before the Lord to wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. And wait doesn't mean sit around on your hands. It means to minister to God. We continue to wait upon God until He speaks. We wait upon God. How long we're going to do that? Until. It doesn't matter. Until we hear from God. Because that's really what we need, right? We need to hear from God. You need to hear from God. There's a situation in your life that may turn into a crisis. You need to hear from God before you take your next step. You need to hear what God is saying. And Jehoshaphat said, that's it. He told everybody, we're not doing anything till we hear from God this time. Can you imagine the pressure he was under? From his family, from his friends, from his advisors. We're not doing anything till we hear from God. Then another prophet came. If you'll stop and wait on God, God will send you the answer. Some way, somehow, sometimes through a prophet, sometimes through the prophetic word, the Bible. Here's what happened. Then a man by the name Jehaziel, which means God sees, this prophet was moved by the Spirit of God to speak. He said, attention everyone! All of you, and you, King Jehoshaphat, God's word. Don't be afraid. This is God's war, not yours. Tomorrow you're going to go out after them. You'll meet them at the end of the ravine near the wilderness of Jeriel. God's speaking. He's telling them exactly where you're going to meet them. So that'd be easily confirmed. Then he goes on to say, and you won't have to lift a hand in this battle. Just stand firm and watch God's saving hand work for you to take shape. Don't be afraid. Don't waver. March out boldly tomorrow. God is with you. Okay, now you got to think about this. It's easy for us to read that and say, okay, wow, that's great. What's we're gonna... Imagine the pressure. A guy stands up who says he's a prophet, maybe he was a confirmed prophet. This is what he says. What? We're to go out tomorrow and we're going to face three countries that are coming in to slaughter us. And we're to do what? Really? This can't be from God. This is from the devil. Because he's trying to kill us. Can you imagine the pressure? Can you imagine all the talk and the yeah going on? But here's what Jehoshaphat did. After he heard from the prophet, it says this, then Jehoshaphat bowed his face to the ground. Now watch. Face to the ground. Your head now is below your heart. Your understanding is below your heart. Are you understanding? Your understanding so often gets in the way of what God wants to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. It's significant, the scripture says, he bowed his face to the ground. He put his head, his understanding, his analytical way, his logical thinking, and all the counsel that he's heard from 1,000 people telling him what he should do. He put his head below his heart. If you're going to follow God, you're going to have to put your head below your heart. You're going to have to take your understanding and how smart you are and your experience and all the counsel that you've received from people and put it below your heart. Because your head will get you in trouble. And all of Judah and those dwelling in Jerusalem fell before the Lord and they worshiped. You know what ultimately worship is? Surrender. The first place that the word worship is mentioned in the Bible is the book of Job, chapter 1. And after Job lost everything, to no fault of his own, he bowed down with his face to the ground, and it says, and he worshiped God. Worship is surrender. And the Levites, those were the priests, they rose up to praise God with a loud voice. Some of you don't like loud music. You got a problem with heaven. You do. I like the Gaithers too, but it's not going to be all Gaither music. There's loud cymbals. There's dancing. It's radical. It is radical. You ain't seen anything like it on earth yet. Oh, it's better than a party, brother. And then look what Jehoshaphat did. Very good, quickly. He confessed his faith in the word of God. That's very, very important. So they rose up early in the morning, and Jehoshaphat stood and he said, listen to me, Judah. Believe in the Lord your God and you'll be supported. You'll be established. Believe his prophets. That's the rhema word that God is speaking right now through the voice of a prophet. Believe his prophets and you'll succeed. Amen. This is the leader of Judah. Believe this. And that word believe is the same word that for the words supported or established. If you have a word from God, you believe it, you're established. So when the enemy comes and the storm comes or the crisis comes in your life, you're established because you have a word from God. What else do you need? You know, I'm going to give you a word right now that you can hold on to, because I don't know what your crisis is. Here's a word, a prophetic word. And I can say, thus saith the Lord. Hebrews 13. God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Notice, he tells us that so we put your hand on your chest and say, me. You can confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized by alarm or fear or dread. What can man do to me? So you can boldly say that in the face of your crisis coming. It's so important to speak out what God has said to you, not your fears. Your words have life or death in them. Do you know that the written word of God, this Bible that you have, was first the spoken word before it was a written word? But now it's the written word, so you can take it, put it in your mouth, and you can speak it to the fig tree or the mountain or the crisis or your situation or to the enemy. You speak the word. You don't just read the Bible. You take what God's speaking to you. You take it, put it in your heart, and you speak it out. That's what Jehoshaphat did. That was old covenant. You're in a better covenant. And quickly, number six, he committed himself to trust and obey God regardless of how the outcome was going to come. He didn't know exactly, how's this going to look? What's going to happen? Will there be loss of life? I mean, he had to really trust God. And the scripture says the king consulted with the people. He didn't just make this decision on his own. He consulted now with the people of God around him who heard the same prophetic word. And he appointed a choir. He came up with the idea, I think we should praise God. I think we should praise God. So let's put the worship team in the front tomorrow. As we go out to battle and we have three countries that are coming against us with spears and swords and all kinds of weaponry, intending with venom in their hearts and minds to want to destroy us, let's put our worship team out there in the front. Our worship team would do that. Yeah, they would. If we heard from God, they would do that. And they were to march ahead of the troops and they were to sing one chorus over and over and over again. And this is a course that David, King David, years ago, had written in a psalm, and they were to sing this one chorus over and over and over again. For those of you who don't like it when we sing the same chorus over and over and over again, you got a problem. God liked it. This was their strategy. And today, maybe it looked like this. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever, for he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Give praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever, forever, and ever. Forever God, you're faithful, forever God, you're strong, forever God is with me, forever and ever and ever. And that's what they sang, something like that. I mean, it was kind of like that. I want to give you the idea. This was how they were going to war. Wow. That's how they did it. And notice this. This is the, here's the clincher. You don't want to miss this. Verse 22. When they began, everybody say began. When they began. Not after. When they began to obey God, began to praise, began to sing, they began to praise. The Lord set ambushes against these three countries who came against Judah. And that, so without explanation, the doctor says, I don't know what happened, but you're healed. I don't know where that cancer went, but it's not there. I don't know how you got money in your bank, but it's there. You're not bankrupt. I don't know how your phone got fixed the other day, the screen that was cracked, and all of a sudden it's healed. I don't know. I have no idea. Without explanation, they turned to each other until all the armies were dead. This really happened. This is a true story. And God put it in the book, say, okay, because other people are going to need to learn how to trust me and follow this model. You can praise your way through a crisis, or you can cry yourself while you're in a crisis. Praise is better. Hear from God. And then last, they collected all the riches from the crisis. See, if God, who could stop the crisis that you're either in or you're headed to right now, he could have stopped it, but if he didn't, there's something he wants you to get out of it that you could not get any other way. There are riches to be discovered in this crisis. So when we talk about praise, we're not just talking about singing songs. We're talking about giving thanks. We're talking about getting our focus on God. When we're praising God, we're getting our focus on him. That's what praising God is all about. I praise you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that you have given me the gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ. But I praise you, God, because you are my righteousness. I thank you, God, for giving me healing in my body. But I praise you, God, because you're my healer. Are you understanding? I thank you, God, for giving me provision to pay my bills. Thank you, God, for that. But I praise you that you're my provider. Are you understanding the difference here? See, praise is getting your focus on who God really is. And it's not just about surviving. It's about thriving, even in a crisis. Then Jehoshaphat and his people came together to collect the plunder, and they found an abundance. God wants you to find an abundance, an abundant life, even in the crisis. They found an abundance of riches with the corpses and precious jewels. There were more than they could carry. They gathered the plunder for 3 days. Battle took a moment. 3 days worth of collecting the riches in the Valley of Beraka, or the Valley of Blessing. And you can visit this valley today.
Amen.
The Valley of Blessing is waiting for you. And it comes from people who will trust God and praise Him. Encapsulate everything in 60 seconds or less. Here we go. And elders and altar workers, would you come up here and join me ready right now to get ready to minister? Just encapsulate the message. Here we are. How do we let God fight for us in a crisis? Realize the battle's really not mine. It's God's battle. If God has allowed you to have a battle to fight and you didn't cause it, you're not the consequence of it, then guess what? God wants to fight this battle for you. It's not really your battle. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against spiritual forces of wickedness. Number two, allow the weaknesses that we all have some. I have mine, you have yours. Fears and so forth that come to us, especially when a crisis comes. Allow your fears to drive you to God. I got to seek God. I was just messing with you. So you got to let whatever it is that's bothering you drive you to get in your prayer closet with God. Number three, make sure you're pursuing God's plan, not your own plan.
Yeah.
He's got a plan. Amen. To overcome this crisis. He has a plan to rescue your children. He has a plan to help your financial situation. He has a plan to heal your marriage. He has a plan to heal your body. He has a plan. And number four, begin praising God right now. I mean today. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, it just needs to be a part of your daily regimen. You spend time thanking God and praising God for who He is. There's nothing impossible for God. So learn to praise your way through a crisis. Let's stand together. Thank you, God, for your word today. And for some reason, you're sending this word out through the internet. You're sending this word out into the world. You're sending this word, and it will not return void, as we heard Alice say earlier. The word of God will not return void. It's going to hit the target. And it's hitting the target right now in some people's hearts. The word of God is hitting the target.